I want to read a word of God before we stand up for prayer from 2 Timothy 3, some verses right from the beginning. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth.
Und doch niemals zur wirklichen Erkenntnis der Wahrheit zu gelangen vermögen.
Gerade so wie Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith.
Oder verderbter Gesinnung und im Glauben unbewehrt.
But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be made manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Perhaps up to here, this precious and holy word of God. It is so wonderful. I think we brothers and sisters are very close, or we could say we have arrived in fact at this time where these words are fulfilled, as the Apostle Paul writes here to Timothy. He, as a man of God, has certainly been able to see it from God and has seen that the time is very near and that everything that is written here, that everything will be fulfilled. And I think we see it all being fulfilled. I don't know, but I think we don't walk around with blinders on, but we see that Paul, a man of God, led by the Holy Spirit, was able to predict things, but he did warn the believers about this. And also here Timothy, as his co-worker, he gave it clearly to understand. And he says, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience." Yes, that's it. I think we can't help but take these men before us, especially our Lord, as our guideline. Because Paul didn't have an easy time. He had to go through many ways of suffering. And he tells us what happened to him here in Antioch, in Iconium and Lystra. And he goes on to say that those who want to live a godly life will also have to suffer persecution. Brothers and sisters, the words must be fulfilled, for they are words inspired by the Holy Spirit. They are given, and we know they may have already been fulfilled through the ages, but they must also be fulfilled in our day. May the faithful God help us that we remain faithful. Here it says so wonderfully in verse 14, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of." I think we too cannot help but call out to one another that we remain faithful to what God has given us in our days. And I would like to say that it is quite a lot, certainly. Many do not know it. They may think the way is right for them. But we know the Lord has been faithful, and in His faithfulness He has remembered His people. And so we are grateful for this faithfulness. We are thankful that He had mercy on us and gave us instructions that we could accept in all things and do what He asked of us. This is especially important, this verse 14. "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of." Yes. "And hast been assured of." Yes. I think this word, the gospel, and the message of the end time must also become a complete certainty to us. If it is not, then there is something wrong. But it must become a certainty to us. And so may the Lord give us grace that we can also give thanks to Him this evening for this grace that has been given to us and for this end-time message, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Yes, and we also know in our days who has spoken to us. May the faithful God be with us also tonight. May He bless us and all His people with us. Let us rise now and let us worship the Lord. We thank You for this hour of grace which You have given us anew, O Lord. We come to You as we are. We see that we have arrived at the last hours, at the last moments. Lord, let us look away from all worldly things. Let us look to You, Lord, the author and finisher of our faith. Lord, may we stand in faith that Your well-pleasing may rest upon us. May we be filled with the power from on high, every day anew, Lord. Fill Your people. Fill me, Lord. Fill us all, Lord. We have come, Lord, to give thanks and glory to Your precious name. Lord, we come also with the intercession for Sister Rushke. Lord, you know the ways, you know the time and the hour. You know how long each one has to stay here on this earth, Lord. Make her ready, Lord. If you want to take her, Lord, make her ready for your kingdom, for your glory, is my prayer in this evening hour. And bless now my brothers and sisters here. Bless us, O Lord. Bless also the hours that are before us, Lord, all the meetings. Bless our dear brother Frank. Let your Holy Spirit come upon all, Lord. May your glory be revealed, Lord. May you glorify yourself, Lord, in the midst of your people, is my prayer. In the precious name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to read a short word today. We've already heard this from Timothy, and I will come to John 11 in a moment, but the word in Timothy here, which is about the last days, when we read this description, you all know what we need to do, to put this pattern on us, to see what applies to me, what applies to you, and each one separately. What applies to somebody else, that doesn't help us. If we knew exactly where the other person was lacking, that would be of absolutely no use or help to you and me, unless I recognize where I am lacking and what I need from God. I have read along, and I have read along from the heart. Many a thing is said of children, that they will disobey their parents. Well, that applies to the children. But then it is also said that there will be people who will be selfish, greedy for money, boasters, proud, blasphemers. What applies to me here? What applies to you? What does God want to admonish me with? What does He want to admonish you with? What does He want to say to you? What does He want to say to me? There is no use. I have come to that conclusion. In tailoring things to others, under the preaching of the word, but to actually say, Lord, what do you have to say to me through this? And also all the other things, when it is said here of Jannes and Jambres, that they stood up against Moses, and so men stand up against the truth, have corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Yes, who are these people? Is it me? Is it you? Who are they? We are certainly not a Moses. Huh, who are we then? Right? So there are indeed some questions, as one can ask oneself with such words. And then comes the addressing of Timothy. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, love, and patience. After all these things are listed, which rule men in these last days, and he that is not ruled by God is ruled by other things and cannot rule himself. It's a hardship, and it's a condition where no one can help themselves. But addressed to the believers, it then reads, but thou hast, each one is addressed, my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, love, and patience. And then even my persecutions and afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, and so forth. And the testimony at the end is, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. I believe that today we are among those, certainly not alone. In alone being saved, only the Catholic Church believes, and another church or fellowship cannot believe in it. But we believe that all will be saved whom God has ordained to salvation. And no single person is the judge of that. We can all be glad that we ourselves can be saved by grace. But here it says, people, you and I are addressed personally, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, love, and patience. Do I, have all these things to show in my life? Do I have faith, long-suffering, love, patience, in persecutions, afflictions, in misunderstandings, in everything, when it goes upside down? Do I have it? Do you have it? May God grant it, that it is so. And then it says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. There are people, we read it earlier, who always want to learn, but never come to the right knowledge. They always want to learn, but they never come to the right knowledge, because they are not taught by God, because they do not have the teacher, the Holy Spirit, in them. You can teach as much as you like, according to the letter. If the Holy Spirit is not in your heart as a teacher to reveal the divine doctrine, then we teach in vain and will not come to the full knowledge of the truth. Knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. What a wonderful thing! I mean that tonight we can say, God has taught us, and what He has told us has become complete certainty. God's word is certain, no matter what it may be, whether it's difficult to understand or easy, it doesn't matter. If we are born of God, and the Spirit of God teaches us inwardly, but according to the word of God, there are actually people, you wouldn't think it possible, who are more spiritual than all of us sitting here. Or maybe just in the assumption that they are. But they really mean it, and they are convinced of it, and nobody can dissuade them. But the real spiritual mind is revealed where the Lord can come into His complete right, where His word to you and me has become complete certainty. And we understand that it is not men who have spoken of their own accord, but moved by the Holy Spirit. Of our Lord, it says in John chapter 3, we don't come to that now, but to chapter 11, but there it says, we know that thou art a teacher, come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest. But did they accept his teaching? No. We know that thou art a teacher come from God. We know of your divine commission. We know the teaching is true. Huh. And then comes the but. We know. Of course, we know. And even we know it, we bypass it anyway. So it was with Nicodemus. So it is with many others who also know the scriptures very well. Here, in the Gospel of John, in chapter 11, is the story of Lazarus. And I would like to say of our Lord, Lazarus is second, and Martha and Mary third. The Lord is always first. If he had not come, nothing would have been written about it in the Bible. If the Lord had not been called, if he had not gone there, then we would not read anything. There would be no chapter 11 to read. It is written only because the Lord called, because he came, because he did something. That is why it is written. Without him, we would not read anything. It is always about him. Now it says here, to be brief, because we are about to pray. It says here, from verse 34, and said, where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. This is the shortest verse, as far as I know, in the whole Bible. Jesus wept is a whole verse, a whole chapter, if you like. It went to his heart so much. And these two words are a whole verse. Jesus wept. That's how it gripped him inside. And it goes on to say, then said the Jews, behold, how he loved him. And then it says, in 37, and some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Most certainly the Lord heard it. And it says in verse 38, Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself. We all know it is sometimes difficult to find the right words in the translation. Not in agitation, certainly not, or out of temper, but inwardly seized, inwardly moved by what he heard and saw there. It says, again groaning in himself, inwardly moved, he cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? When he said this, they took away the stone. She objected first, saying, Lord, it is already the 4th day. He is already in decay. She suddenly stood about between those who had to roll away the stone and the Lord. But when the Lord said to her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then the man who had to take away the stone waited for nothing. It just says, then they took away the stone. When did they take it away? When the Lord said unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. That's easy then, to take the stone away. Then it's not so heavy anymore. Then you grab it and get the strength to put it aside. When the Lord is there to reveal the glory of God and power of God, then they took away the stone. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and prayed, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. What a prayer. Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. He has not even begun to pray. He begins with thanksgiving, the answer to the prayer. He doesn't begin with pleading and begging. He lifts up his eyes to heaven and prays, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. If you and I could put at the beginning of you and my prayer the thanksgiving for the hearing, then your and my prayer would look different. And I'm not only saying this to you today, I'm saying it to myself today and with all emphasis, for this word has become great to me. He lifted up his eyes to heaven and began to pray, saying, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. He gives us an example here, for to this end he was proven in power as the Son of God, to show all the sons of God in what a position they are before God, and that God also wants to answer your prayers and mine. He does not give thanks for the answer at the end. He gives thanks at the beginning. That is faith. That is faith. When you can already give thanks for the answer at the beginning of the prayer. Then it goes on, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him and let him go. It is a wonderful thing that has happened here. Let me say it again. If the Lord had not come here, this chapter would not be here. If he had not come into your life and mine, if he had not revealed himself to you and me, if he had not spoken to you and me, then we would not be sitting here today, and we would not be able to believe his word and his work. Therefore, because he has come into your life and mine, therefore, you and I are already in these words. To say it with Brother Branham, he says, all the sons and daughters of God are a part of the Word of God. He says, you are already in the Bible. You don't need to be put in it. You are already in it. You just have to recognize and take your place in Christ. And if God could make it possible for me and you and all of us to see that we as sons and daughters of God are already here in the Bible, in connection with God, in His kingdom, in His church, that we are indeed already the body of Christ, seen from God, members who form the body of Christ, we are already in here. And when God gives us grace, and I hope He does very soon, and reveals Himself in His great power and glory, may this word that we have considered here tonight go to our hearts, and may we find grace before God and also be able to say, Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast heard me. When we know what to pray and know that the prayer is in the will of God, our Lord knew why He hesitated. Some said, could not this one have done who opened the eyes of the blind man that he should make that he should not die? He has done more than that. He has raised the man from the dead. It took a little too long for the people, but all the greater was the miracle that God did by grace. We believe in a God who does miracles. We believe in a God who heals and who saves, in a true living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of all the prophets. He is our God, and we are His people, the flock of His hand that He feeds. And I believe we may say that He has also instructed us in this time, and we have understood the instruction as far as we can overlook it. And if it is lacking somewhere, then we ask Him to give us the right understanding by grace. Amen.